Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Trucknology Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Berlin, and this is part two of the One Big Beautiful Bill analysis. It was just signed into law on July 4th. And in the last episode, I kind of broke down the overview and some of the things that were from a macro standpoint that impacted the transportation and trucking space, some things tangentially, some things directly. But this episode, I'm going to talk specifically about how the bill impacts trucking as it relates to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and plans that are going into effect to be able to make some changes to the way trucking is done. And those trucking changes are likely to result in cost changes. So if you hire trucking in any way, shape, or form, or if you are a trucker, expect to spend a little bit more money. But let's see. Let's break it down and dig into it and see if there's anything here that is informational. All right. So anyway, the FMCSA got an extra $12.5 billion to make some changes. So you can expect that they're going to spend that money trying to improve safety in some way, shape, or form, and doesn't always result the same. Here's the biggest problem for me is the FMCSA tries to put big laws in place or big rules in place that apply to everybody. And let's just face it, not everybody's the same. Dry van haulers have a different set of requirements than people that do dry bulk. Liquid haulers have different requirements than people that do oversize over dims. Flatbed guys have different needs than people that do refrigerated. So to get one set of rules that fits everything makes it ultimately more complex. So you can expect that to happen. And if somebody funds a government agency with $12.5 billion and said, here, go make some rules, you know that's what they're going to do. So be prepared, I guess. Pay attention. Watch the trades, watch the news. There's going to be some changes coming, so I guess get ready, right? One of the biggest things right away is that they're proposing new requirements for enhancing driver safety by making 3PLs vet their carriers differently and well, I shouldn't say differently, record that they vet their carriers and that they're only getting carriers with a satisfactory rating. There's really only three types. Now, this goes back some years ago. If you've been in trucking for more than 10 years, you're familiar with the basic score and how they rate a carrier. You can either be satisfactory, non-rated, or conditional. I guess you could be, no, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. You can be satisfactory, unsatisfactory, or conditional. Those are the only three choices for a basic score. Generally speaking, carriers that are not rated for whatever reason are new. They don't have enough inspections. They don't have enough data to be able to give them either a satisfactory and unsatisfactory rating. So as it stands today, unrated carriers ultimately can be used and considered safe. And of course, satisfactory carriers are obviously safe. But what the new rule is going to do is make it so that 3PLs and brokers can only use satisfactory rated carriers. And then you have to document that you picked a satisfactory rated carrier at the time of the shipment and has to be auditable. Now, what that's going to look like, don't know. Companies that do kind of ad hoc or on-the-cuff type transportation buying, you know, broker type buying, you're going to have a way to find out that that carrier's got a satisfactory rating. And that when you haul the freight, you can document that that carrier had a satisfactory rating. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, but start thinking about it because that's one of the rules that are coming out. And you can be sure that if they're going to set up a way to audit it, they're probably going to find a way to start auditing 3PLs in a way that they don't do now. Frankly, the only audits that you ever have in transportation, well, as it relates to carriers or 3PLs, is if you have a DOT audit. 3PLs aren't really subject to that now, but it looks like they will be in the future. So there's going to come a time when we have to do that, so we might as well start paying attention now. Now, I have a little bit of an issue, frankly, with the idea that unrated carriers, you know, you're going to have this problem where if you don't have a rating, you can't be used by a 3PL. And if you can't be used by a 3PL, how are you going to get a rating? In order to get a rating, you have to have inspections. And if you're not hauling any freight because you don't have inspections, what's that going to do? It's kind of like the old, you can't get credit until you have credit kind of thing. So we'll have to see how that plays out over time. But you can be sure if they're putting some requirements in there, they're going to find a way to audit that. So while you may not have been subject to an audit before, you might be now. So pay attention. All right, next thing is some regulatory updates regarding hours of service. I don't know precisely what this is going to mean. Right now, I think I've did a podcast on this already. The basic logbook, here's the basic rules. You can drive for 11 hours in a day. You can be on duty for 14. That's the basics of it. So what are they going to do in trying to break this out? They say they're trying to find ways to integrate it for real-time fatigue monitoring. I don't know exactly what that means or how that's going to happen. Real-time monitoring means some kind of an ELD interface, I'm sure. I got to be honest, a lot of drivers aren't a fan of ELDs anyway because of the way they are kind of intrusive. Matter of fact, I've had situations when we first put in our ELDs in our truck some years ago, we were using the Qualcomm system, the OmniTrack system by Qualcomm, and the latest version of that ELD, anytime the truck moved more than 15 feet or so from its geolocated last position, the ELD would start up and start working on that driver's clock. And frankly, he may have just been moving the truck for maintenance or getting it out of the way or parking it, not actually driving it for pay, and yet it started his clock. And if you start your clock 1 minute, yes, 60 seconds, 1 minute before the end of your off-duty rest period, it gives you a violation. So ELDs, while they're good, they could create additional problems. And of course, trying to add new hours of service requirements into the ELD could be a bit of a challenge. They're also going to be putting in a lot of new driver training requirements that weren't required before. And they're going to be talking about regulations for autonomous and semi-autonomous commercial vehicles. So there's going to be some updates here related to that. Just be prepared. They're probably not going to start hitting until probably late 26, mid-26 maybe, early 27. So I don't expect there to be a lot of changes, but just know that it's coming. Hours of service is always a contentious issue because you want to run the trucks as much as you can. Drivers want to get as many miles as possible. But you also want to eliminate fatigue, obviously. You don't want drivers driving tired. Now, I will say that over the years, trucking has actually gotten safer by a factor of probably three. Here's some just rough math, and I think I'm going to include a link to the FMCSA's accident data website in the description block because I think it's important. I just did a quick glance at it before this episode, and here's some key facts that I noticed. In 1975, there were approximately 5 million heavy trucks and commercial buses on the road. 2021, there were close to 15 million. That's a 3x increase in just 50 years. While the accidents per 100 million miles driven went from about 0.3 to 0.19. So while we had a 3-time increase in trucks on the road and obviously more miles, we actually had a almost 3 times reduction, really 2 and some change, reduction in accidents. So if you look at the math, we have become immensely safer over the last 50 years in trucking, and yet they're still putting additional requirements and restrictions and things on trucks. So some things that they're going to, you know, they are talking about reducing regulations in other areas, but it looks like they're going to increase some areas in for regulation in trucking. So while I think we have been continually getting safer, focusing the money on the FMCSA is probably not the right place to go. They really should look at training cars because most of the accidents that we dealt with while we were a trucking company were really related to cars causing the problems, either broadsiding our equipment, running into it. We actually had them go underneath the trailers before because they failed to stop, following too closely, all those kinds of things. It's really more the cars that are the problem. But like any government problem, they're going to put money after the big trucks because that's where it's easier to fix. It's easier to get a company to make changes to commercial drivers than it is to fix all the private drivers that are out there because, let's face it, most of them don't know how to drive. That's just my opinion. At least around big trucks, anyway. They just don't seem to understand that tractor trailer, if fully loaded, even a standard dry van could have 80,000 pounds of mass, and you pull your little Yugo in front of it doing 70 miles an hour down the freeway, and it tries to stop. You might end up being a pancake. So just understand there's a lot of mass there, and it is probably easier for the government to regulate industry than it is to regulate people. But that's coming, so just be ready. Part of this FMCSA funding, here are some three three of the areas, now granted it's $12.5 billion, they're putting $50 million for technology upgrades into FMCSA safety monitoring system. So maybe that's the basics system, I'm not sure. $30 million for training and outreach programs to help carriers comply with the new requirements. And then $20 million hiring additional enforcement personnel to conduct audits and inspections. So you could be sure if they were going to install requirements for audits that they were going to put extra auditors in. So here's about $100 million just in focusing on the regulations, the new standards, all right? So that's coming. The ELD enhancements, ELDs are already mandatory, but they're going to add additional requirements to integrate those ELDs with other safety monitoring systems. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. But I think the bigger piece about this ELD mandate is they're actually going to start requiring all commercial motor vehicles. I say that again, all commercial motor vehicles, including those under 10,000 pounds, to be equipped with ELDs by 2027. Now, if you start including vehicles under 10,000 pounds, now you start talking about bread trucks, you start talking about small dump trucks, you start talking about landscaping equipment, all kinds of commercial motor vehicles that are currently not driven by, monitored by ELDs. If they start adding that ELD requirement, you're going to see a lot of equipment coming out that is either installed in the trucks or is cell phone based to create an ELD in these smaller vehicles. But when it creates the pool of, you know, $15 million vehicles to maybe 30 million vehicles, that now becomes an entirely new market, and ELDs are going to be everywhere, basically. So commercial motor vehicles are about to get a little bit more of a thumb put on them by government here. So just watch out for that. We got until 2027, so things may change. They're starting the rulemaking. The FMCSA was given 6 months to propagate these new rules. And so they won't start enforcing them until probably sometime in 2026, maybe even as late as the third quarter. Some things like the ELD mandates for smaller trucks won't be even enforced until 2027. So you have a little bit of time, but I really wouldn't wait. Another thing that's coming along that they don't currently have is driver certification. So part of the bill is going to put a new standard driver training curriculum in place for CDL drivers. Now, I can tell you that the change for CDL drivers over the years has just been huge. When I first started driving trucks, I was 16 years old. I had a regular driver's license. All you had to do is go get a chauffeur's license, and you could drive a cab over Peterbilt with no power steering, 13-speed pulling gravel train. I did it. So at 16, you could go from driving a car to driving a heavy motor vehicle really the next year or next day, frankly, as soon as you got your chauffeur's license. Well, that changed in about 88, 89, 90. When I got back from Desert Storm, I had to upgrade my chauffeur's license to a CDL in order to keep it current. So I did that. And then ever since then, it started adding things like you had to take the test, you had to do the formal training, you had to go to an actual school and get signed off on. So over the last 20 or 30 years, those rules have changed. But what's really changed is the change now is that they're going to add a standard curriculum. As it sits today, when we had our driver training school, we probably had it for almost 10 years, I guess, and we put our own curriculum together. We used a series of things that you could buy, a series of things that you could make yourself, and then we kind of tweaked a lot of the program to fit our needs as a automotive trucking company. What the FMCSA is proposing now, though, is making a standardized training curriculum so that all new applicants into the CDL space have the same requirements. Again, good news, bad news, right? I think when you start to try to get everything included, you do a couple things. You eliminate some people that really don't want to take the class in the first place. They just want to drive a truck and they want to do basic over-the-road trucking. Well, I got a feeling that some of the standardized training is going to talk about oversize over dims. It might talk about hauling liquids, bulk tanks. They make talk about flatbeds and landauls and some of the other types of equipment and the nuances related to those kind of trucks. Don't know for sure, but I would really like to see the requirements be very loose so that companies have some flexibility to design a program to get them the best outcome. Understand, a trucking company does not, I say again, does not want to cause an accident. They do not, I say again, do not want to be involved in an accident, primarily because of all the red tape that goes with it. And obviously, you don't want anybody to be hurt. You don't want any equipment damage. But insurance expenses is a big deal, and claims are a big deal. Fighting them is always a big deal. So they do not want to have accidents. Now, that said, you could also overregulate to the point where you're not making anybody more effective. You're just making more rules, and that I hope they don't do. But again, they're going to put a standardized training curriculum. And then the other thing that they're going to implement is that all drivers will be required to create an annual safety refresher course. Don't know what that means either, but it says in the requirements that they're going to focus on cybersecurity threats to vehicle systems. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but just know that if you're part of a safety program or a safety training in a carrier right now, you're going to be making some changes in that program as a result of the changes to the FMCSA in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Now, again, I don't expect that to be anything that goes into effect in 2025. They're saying that they need to have it finalized by the end of the year. So somewhere somebody's firing up a computer and going to write some new rules. We'll see what happens. They expect that to start being enforced in 2026. And that annual refresher program will start to be enforced in 2026 as well. So they're working on things like driver preparedness and ways to reduce accidents to eliminate the human error. And if you think about it, again, this is kind of tangential, but the idea of autonomous trucks is to get the human factor out of driving as much as possible. Again, I said already, I'm a pilot, and I can tell you right now, my personal experience in both piloting aircraft and heavy motor vehicles is that it's usually the human that fails that creates the problem. The airplane system doesn't usually crash the plane. The truck systems don't usually crash the truck. It's usually an inattentive driver or pilot that caused those problems. So this extra training that they're trying to put in place, I think, is designed to try to get the drivers more attentive. But I think move toward autonomous vehicles as that accelerates will by itself fix a lot of the safety issues that we have. And I just really don't – I'm skeptical that adding in all these new systems are going to really improve truck safety. If we've increased 3x the number of trucks on the road, and as a result have actually reduced the number of accidents by almost a factor of 3, that tells you we're heading in the right direction already. I really don't think that more requirements are necessary, but they're going to do it because they can. So anyway, be prepared for that. If you're in a safety department somewhere, expect new requirements. Those are the big items. Again, if you want to hear more about what was in the One Big Beautiful Bill, again, from a summary standpoint, listen to the previous episode, kind of get an overview on where this is heading. The previous episode did talk about how the Big Beautiful Bill affected transportation related. This one is more geared toward how FMCSA is going to be impacted. And nobody really knows. You can be sure that the lobbyists are firing up the printing presses to spend money to these congressmen that are and ELD, and I'm sorry, ELD, the rule writers that are doing this. So you can be sure money's behind this. There's a lot of groups that are mentioned, like the TIA, the ATA, that are supporting some of these requirements. So I hope that they have some influence in how these rules get done and they don't make business harder. Obviously, if there's more requirements for a trucking company, you can expect there'll be more requirements for the 3PLs and brokers and anybody that's using a trucking company to haul their freight. I think one of the bigger things here is that ELD mandate for commercial motor vehicles under 10,000 pounds. That's going to be kind of a big deal. There's a lot of Sprinter trucks out, Sprinter vans out there that are commercial motor vehicles. There's a lot of cube trucks, bread trucks, you know, UPS trucks, all the UPS trucks, they probably have in-cab communication now, and they probably have ways to track it, but they don't have ELDs. And so obviously that ELD is going to create a logging requirement that a lot of drivers don't have today. I don't know how that makes anybody safer, but I guess we'll see. All right, so stay tuned. We'll keep an eye on this. I think I'm going to start spending some time on some episodes talking about current events as it relates to trucking. I'll get back to the training and logistics and try to sneak some of those episodes in as well. But right now, there's a lot of things coming out in the trucking space that are impacting 3PLs and brokers and that are going to impact costs for our clients over the next several years. And a lot of them coming from the requirements that are in this big, beautiful bill. Now, I'm hoping that while some requirements come in with the intention of improving safety, I hope other requirements go away to help things become more efficient, because there are a lot of clunky things in how requirements are for moving freight, and I hope that changes, but I guess we'll stay tuned and see, right? Okay, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. My email address is generally in the description. I'm looking for feedback. If you have comments, questions, concerns, topics you'd like me to talk about, I'd be happy to do that. And otherwise, stay tuned, and we look forward to seeing you on future episodes. Thanks. Have a great day.